listening to a radio show.
He's texting me on that radio station.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can I be on that radio station?
You can. You want to talk to him?
I need to talk to him.
You got to talk to him. Hold on one second.
Are you ready for a show where nothing is too taboo?
I'm waiting for like a cop to pull up. What are you doing out here on this corner, boy?
Just doing a radio show, officer.
You're looking for a good time, officer? Is that a donut on your penis, or are you just happy to see me? Oh, that's an eclair, son of a bitch.
It's a Boston cream pie.
Bosh, that's the Boston cream, baby.
And for the show where everything is fair game.
I want to put my dick on a flag and fly it above my house. I'll fucking do it. We could sing a song about it. We sell banana, B-A-N-A-N-A-N. There's our island theme song. We spell banana, B-A-N-A-N-A.
Good thought. Good thought. Give me your, I don't know, what's the first thing you think of when you see your dick? That's a good thought.
Pussy.
Then put the children to bed.
Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it a sexual position?
What?
Wait for it.
Oh,
I thought the people are going to be showing up to party. Oh, you done them down over here.
And pour yourself a cold one. As it's time for your only excuse to be home on Saturday nights.
First of all, has anyone ever told you that you have the laugh of a drunken schoolgirl?
Yeah, I have. Actually, that's what's gotten me laid.
Oh, yeah, I could be playing with myself.
Oh, it's all going to be coming really, really soon.
You're sitting down, stand up real quick.
You, I'll be right back. I'm going to go grab a bucket in case I decide to hurl.
If you hurl, you're a fucking girl.
Oh, not the pelvic thrust.
It's time for CB Radio.
Oh, it's Saturday night. You know what that means. Time for another edition of CB Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, cbradiolive.com. There is no greater than great debate tonight, so there is no greater than great debate.com. Need it. But we're available at twitch.tv/WTRLive. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use Kirk Rock Suck at the Fortnite item shop when you buy your new battle passes. Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair, all 17,000 pages of Heisted skins and Marvel, all available in the Fortnite item shop. Because hashtag epic partner. We're doing a special show tonight. Tonight is, we are 12 hours away.
Just over 12 hours.
Just over 12 hours away from the biggest wrestling event of all time, all in London, Wembley Stadium, which means tonight is the return of the Excalibur Challenge. We got 30 minutes to cover everything that happens in All In. So Brent is going to break it all down. We're going to make some picks along the way, give you all the expert analysis we can give you, even though we're not experts because that one person's on the rack Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern. But we're going to give you the best knowledge we can give you here later in the show. We're going to have the intern's corner. We're going to have a couple of weird news stories as well. Lindsay did make her pick. I have her pick. She just needs to make one more. No, because they didn't put that much on. No, her, we have
no,
her
no,
pick.
That's on. That's next week.
That's next week. I have her picks. I have her picks, so we're good there. So we have that.
I think we got Casey's too. Right?
We have Casey's as well, so we're all caught up. We'll announce them as we do it. So we'll add another factor into the whole situation with the wheel sub and our picks. We'll do it all together and make it a grand all time in the Excalibur Challenge, which gives us 30 more. That looks like it's going to take up a lot more than the 30 minutes. So that's even good, making put the pressure on to get the Excalibur Challenge done.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you all so much.
We're just going to add it all in there. So, with all that
said, we're going to go all in on it.
We're going all in, and hello back, and everyone in chat. So that's what we're doing. That's how we're doing this. I'm the producer, Sir Rockin. That's the intern, King Kinnens.
Hey, I'm going to try and save my voice because I got to go really fast in a little bit.
He's going to go really fast in a little bit. We also have the X-Corps soldier himself. Subway is here.
What's up?
So, with all that being said, before we get into anything, everything that we need to discuss tonight, because there's a lot to get into, especially with the intern's corner, which we're doing in like 2 minutes from now, we as a collective need to get something off our chest, mainly at one individual who is not here on the show, so fuck you, Rob. And we're gonna we're just gonna do this. We're gonna get this trio out of the way. Bob Barker.
Hashtag blame Rob.
It's number one, Terry Funk.
Hashtag blame Rob.
It's another fuck you, Rob. And number three, Wyndham Rotunda, aka Bray Wyatt.
Hashtag blame Rob.
Fuck you, sad. Rob.
Yeah, that's sad. That's really sad.
And we're not going to dive deep into it because this is a collective. We need to get it all out of our chest. So we need, there's only one way. Only one way to tell him to fuck off, but it's this way.
Fuck you, Rob.
Thank you. Like
fuck you, Rob, in your ass with a corn on the cob. There we go. Hot. Boiled. It's going to hurt. Salty. Fuck you, Rob.
I think that, as a collective,
can we get,
expresses it all.
Can we get those jelly beans for Rob to eat? Just, even if he just comes on the show, we just make him eat them just because.
I mean, that's
up to... We don't even need a reason.
That's up to Brent to make that happen, if he wants to do the jelly bean thing.
No, shit, I have to send them to Rob? Fuck.
So just be like, fuck you, Rob, eat a jelly bean.
There you go. For every death, he eats his own jelly bean. But I don't think we heard it enough, so for the blame Rob's.
Fuck you, Rob.
That's how I like
fuck it. Fuck you, Rob, in your ass with a corn on the cob. There we go. Hot. Boiled. It's going to hurt. Salty.
No butter.
Fuck you, Rob.
No butter, just salt. Cause
burning.
Burning. Since we just go.
School is now in session. It's time to step inside the classroom to learn some useless, meaningful knowledge about movies, wrestling, music, video games, and more. This is the Intern's Corner.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Intern's Corner. I knew I took a week away because I had to go work on campus.
It's okay. We did one last week. We learned a lot about Bambi.
Bambi?
Yes, we did Bambi because it was a movie of this week and last week in history. Yeah, 81 years ago. We learned things, Brent. We learned a lot about Bambi.
It was actually pretty cool.
See? Ha ha.
Well, we're back on track now. The substitute teacher has left, and now the real teacher is back in.
Yeah, the stuffed up teacher is here now.
It's not stuffed up! All right, we're going to start with this week with notable dates in wrestling history. First up, August 20th, 2001. So, oh dear God, scary to think 22 years ago this week, Kurt Angle spoils the Austin Appreciation Night with the milk truck.
Okay.
August 21st, 2005, SummerSlam. We had the famous match of Shawn Michaels selling for Hulk Hogan.
Brother.
I love how it starts and Hogan's just kind of watching it, and then he realizes what happens, and he's sitting there like, "You son of a bitch!" And then it just becomes a complete like sell job between him and Shawn. Also, at that SummerSlam was the famous Ray versus Eddie ladder match for Dominic. Whatever happened to Dominic? I wonder.
No idea.
All right, August 21st, 2016. Also, a SummerSlam. Finn Balor wins the first ever Universal Championship and then relinquishes it 22 hours later.
Because he got hurt in that match.
Yep, because of the buckle bomb onto the railing. August 22nd, 2015. Quite possible.
Real quick, what Seth said, how they, interjected that, that was pretty cool. That kind of helped that, stretching that little feud out with him. But go ahead, sorry.
August 22nd, 2015. What some people will argue is the greatest women's match of all time, Bayley defeats Sasha Banks for the NXT women's title at NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 1.
Okay, a couple more facts.
August 24th, 1985. Miss Elizabeth debuts on WWF television as part of Primetime Wrestling. Also, Brutus Beefcake and Greg Valentine win the WWF Tag Team Championships away from the U.S. Express, which is, how fitting this week, Mike Rotunda and Barry Windham.
Very fitting for this week, yep.
And finally, August 24th, 1998, we had the ending of quite possibly the most controversial thing in wrestling history. Bart Gunn defeats Bradshaw in the finals of the Brawl for All. Oh, that was an entire clusterfuck thanks to Vince Russo. Oh my god. All right, celebrity birthdays. Before we get into the celebrities, we just want to say happy birthday to one Vincent Kennedy McMahon. August 24th is his birthday, and he turns the ripe young age of 78.
Okay.
So now we'll get into the celebrities that they have to guess. These are all people who have a birthday this week, so you'll guess the age that they just turned. First up, from the Amazing Spider-Man series, Andrew Garfield. Also, The Social Network.
Let's go 41. What's up?
40?
He is 40. Good job. Next up, from the TV show Heroes and from the movie Remember the Titans, as well as Scream 6 and Scream, I believe, 4, Hayden Panettiere.
Oh, wow.
35?
36.
She is 34. Okay. She was also with one of the Klitschko brothers.
She was. Did they have a kid?
Yeah, they had a kid.
She's small girl, big kid, big, yeah.
Yeah.
Small girl, big guy. That's
interesting combo.
And then imagine that baby coming out. And just...
All right, next up, from Saturday Night Live, from Bridesmaids, Kristen Wiig.
40.
42.
50.
Ah, damn.
50.
All right, next 50? Up.
50, 50. Yeah.
50. Next up, from The Chappelle Show, the namesake, Dave Chappelle.
Oh, Dave Chappelle. 40, 50. Because Matt said 51, so we'll go 50.
54.
He is 50.
Hey, there you go.
All right. Next up, from the Harry Potter series, and I believe Knock on the Door, the movie with Dave Bautista, Rupert Grint.
Who?
He played Ron Weasley in the Harry Potter movies.
Like, I'm supposed to know who that is.
He's the redhead of the trio. You've seen the three of them.
Like, how am I supposed to know who the Harry Pooters are?
Because we've done plenty of tournaments on the Harry Pooters, and you've guessed on the Weasleys, so...
Just guessing.
You should know a little something.
Just guessing doesn't mean I know anything about them. Anyway, so Pooters...
Some substitute teacher you are.
No, I've never seen the Harry Pooter movies. Answering chat.
Actually, he never has.
I never have.
He also doesn't watch the Star Wars movies, so that tells you what kind of taste he has.
91.
He is not 91.
Who?
Rupert Grint.
34.
38. 35. All right, next up, from Gossip Girl, from the Green Lantern movie, and better known as Mrs. Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively.
36.
Also, you know who she is.
37.
I know who she was. Because she was in a movie I liked, Accept It.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was. She was the one that Justin Long went for. Really? Wait, time out. You haven't seen Harry Potter, but you watch Accept It.
Except it's a good movie.
It is not a good movie.
Except it is a good movie.
God's sake. She's 36.
Let me ask you about my wiener. Great movie.
I do have to say,
Louis meme.
Black does amazing in that movie.
See?
But I like Louis Black. Next up, the lead singer of Kiss and the one who helped bring about the Kiss Demon into WCW. Gene Simmons! The demon, the old
poor one. Old.
74.
We just go with old.
Matt's a 75, so 74.
76.
Rock, good choice, 74. Three more.
Three more.
Next up, we have director, author, producer, Tim Burton.
What has he ever directed?
Edward Scissorhands, Sleepy Hollow. He created Nightmare Before Christmas. Frankenweenie. He did the remake of Sweeney Todd.
Okay, so name something. No, kidding. Matt says 60.
I think he did Alice in Wonderland too, the Disney thing.
Tim Burns, Alice in Wonderland. Yeah, that was how they promoted it. Matt says 65, so we'll go off of him and say 67.
Okay.
70.
65. And you can also tell it was a Tim Burton movie because Johnny Depp was in it.
And it's okay. Hold on. It's okay if you side with the co-host here. It's fine. They're usually wrong, too.
I don't know, man. I'm siding with your co-host. Thank you! I like you, Hylian. You're awesome. Yeah, I can actually have the chat up now. It's amazing.
It's amazing. Imagine.
Next up, and in 2 weeks, I'll be able to do a lot more. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. It's amazing. Fantastic. I'll see you guys in real time.
Yep. Next up, from the Star Trek movies, James T. Kirk himself, Chris Pine.
Wait, I thought someone else was James T. Kirk.
The younger James T. Kirk.
Oh, because the Star Trek references, I know. He's the
Star Wars Trek.
Well, you were right. Star Wars references.
Star Wars
the
references.
The spacey battles.
Matt says 48.
Shit.
The War Trek guy. 50. Matt, he says 50. We'll go 42.
Oh, also most recently in Dungeons & Dragons Honor Among Thieves.
Like, I've seen that.
It's actually pretty good. It's a good D&D movie.
Well, like, I do.
Yeah, I like this.
It's great. It's fantastic. I don't want D&D. Anyway, continue on.
I was just playing D&D.
43, Chris Pine. And finally, we talked about her Bridesmaid co-star. Let's talk about one of her other castmates. She was also most recently in The Little Mermaid live action, Melissa McCarthy.
I want to say 47.
48.
53. So finally, we have our movie of the week, and this is actually, I would say in part to our other co-host tonight.
Okay.
I saw him post something, and so I wanted to honor that because this movie was released August 23rd, 1985. We're going to talk about Better Off Dead, starring John Cusack. So a couple of pieces of trivia. Yeah. So this is because you posted about it on Facebook. All right. So a few pieces of trivia about this for Better Off Dead. According to director Savage Steve Holland, the film is mostly autobiographical. Holland really was suicidal when his high school girlfriend left him for the captain of the ski team. He also really did have a paperboy named Johnny Gasparini, who would harass him for $2. If you've seen the movie, you know the reference. And then, according to Holland, when the film came out, the ex-girlfriend reached out and contacted him to apologize. Despite his initial hatred of the film, as well as director Steve Holland, John Cusack admitted in a 2013 interview that he does not hate the film or hate making it. While he wishes some things in it were better, he stated he feels that the way about he feels that way about every movie he has made, and is happy it achieved cult status and remains popular to this day. One interesting note, Lane's little brother, Badger, has no lines in the entire film. When Beth shows up at the high school dance, the person standing behind her is wearing a sweater extremely similar to Freddy Krueger's. Weiss played Krueger's first victim in Nightmare on Elm Street 1984, so released 1 year earlier. Some of the movie posters of this film featured a long blurb that reads, quote, "You've blown up your neighbor's mom. Your 7-year-old brother has better luck with women than you do. Your girlfriend has a new boyfriend. Relax, you're never better off dead." The reason for that last line is because people protested the film's original tagline, which was, "Sometimes you're better off dead." So it had to be changed to, "Relax, you're never better off dead," to appease people.
Okay.
The voice of Yuji Yukimoto, who was doing the Howard Cosell voice, was dubbed by impressionist Rich Little, who also plays a DJ in One Crazy Summer. One Crazy Summer is the movie released 1 year later that was a collaboration between Steve Holland and John Cusack again. The director, Savage Steve Holland, was also the creator of the Fox Saturday morning cartoon Eek the Cat. He helped animate the Whammy figure from the game show Press Your Luck, and he also directed John Cusack in One Crazy Summer 1 year following this movie.
Press Your Luck was a good game show.
Press Your Luck was fun, and I want to say they've remade it recently.
They've remade everything.
I know. I just love the fact that he's the guy that came up with Eek the Cat. I loved that show growing up. And finally, the last line of the end credits roll of the end credits scroll reads, quote, "The film's over. You can go home now."
Nice.
And this is the Intern's Corner.
Fantastic. All right, we have the Excalibur Challenge coming up here in a couple of minutes. But first, we have a couple news stories to get into. First, a Georgia man is facing a felony charge after he was accused of stealing a full wooden porch from his neighbor.
Wait, you said Georgia man?
A Georgia man is.
Okay, so now we know why Rob isn't here.
We know why Rob's not here. But they stole a full porch.
Yeah, sometimes those are easy to take with you.
The porch owner told investigators that while his property may have have an abandoned look, the porch and other items on the land were not up for grabs. It's a full 8x10 porch. It would be what goes on to an hour for an entry and exit. Investigator Chris Stapler with the Coweta County Sheriff's Office told Atlanta, Fox 5 Atlanta, very well constructed. Robin Swanger allegedly walked past several no trespassing signs and took the porch, which was not attached to a home at the time of the alleged theft. Some people may shrug their shoulders and say it's not a big deal, but when you take someone's property without their consent, the value of a porch is $3,000. You can't just go and take stuff off of someone's property, Stapler told Fox 5. Deputies have identified Swanger as the suspect and have been on the lookout for him for several days when they were called to his home for a domestic disturbance. They said that Swanger had gotten into a fight with his wife and had been throwing rocks at their house. Sounds like a great person. Swanger was charged with 2 counts of domestic violence, including battery for the incident, in addition to 1 count of felony theft for stealing the porch. Why would anyone go and steal a porch? I still don't understand.
Hey, have you seen Scrubs, Rock?
Sure, Brent, sure.
I mean, JD had his piece of property, and all he had on it was a porch. You never know. They could be either recreating the show or thought it was a great idea and just wanted a porch. Sometimes you can't afford the whole house, okay?
Okay.
Don't judge people.
I'm not judging people.
I think you're judging.
In other news, Ruh-roh, with less than 2 weeks to go until a Boston couple ties the knot in Italy, there's one big problem. So, before I tell you what the problem is, you know the old saying, the dog ate my homework?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Their dog ate the groom's passport.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say the dog ate the ring.
No. After years of wedding planning, Danto Fattaroli and his fiancée, Magda, are facing a problem they never could have planned. It was not good. Like, it was very stressful, the bride-to-be said Saturday. The couple went to City Hall Thursday to get their marriage license and a letter of intent, and then they went out to dinner. When they got back to their South Boston home, a nightmare was unfolding before their eyes. Their 1.5-year-old golden retriever was eating his own dinner. Man's passport. Chicky.
Nom, 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 nom.
Chicky chewed out the first 4 pages of the passport, several back pages, and a stamp from Mexico, where the couple got engaged a few years ago. But once the couple got a closer look, they realized it was bad. Very bad. When you first look at the passport, it didn't look like it was super damaged, they said. It was like every important page, like all of his personal information, completely torn up. His picture page was torn up. The barcode on the back of the passport was torn up. They said, adding that Chicky is a very good dog. She's not a house destroyer.
Just a passport eater.
With no appointments available in the New England area to try and get a new passport, and time quickly running out, the couple started reaching out to lawmakers, sending out an email to the congressman in Lynch's office that then got in touch with Senator Markey. Their staffs have both been incredible, super communicative. But ultimately, it really comes down to the State Department and the passport office. Trying to stay positive, Mazzari is hopeful somehow they'll still be able to pull off the wedding of their dreams abroad. I'm not allowing myself to even think about a plan B. There's no other option for me, she said. We're going to Italy on a Friday, one way or the other. Hopefully, we'll have resolution to this. But man, eating the passport? Shame, 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 shame. So,
That's a good boy.
It's a good boy. Anyway, Chat, you can see yourselves on the screen, right? I think it kind of works.
Oh yes, there is the chat.
There's a chat on the screen for this next segment. We're trying things. All right, cool. Does it look all right? I know it goes up a little too high, but we'll fix that.
Yeah, it might just need to be adjusted a bit in OBS.
Yeah, I'm working on it. All right, so there we go. So that was the news and stuff. Now let's get in to the Excalibur Challenge. So for those new to the show, here's how this goes. We have 30 minutes. 30 minutes to get this done. If we do not, the stream shuts off. Legitimately, you'll hear a little bumper. We're out. We're done. Everything goes to black. So whether we get through all 15,000 matches and all the predictions, who knows? But we are 12 hours away now from the pre-show, the buy-in, the 0 hour, whatever they're calling it, at All In, live from London in front of 80,000 people. The largest attended, supposedly, wrestling show of all time. ticket wise. Who knows? So we're going to make our picks. We're going to do all the thing and all that fun, happy stuff. Are you ready, Brent?
About as ready as I'll ever be.
Let's get in to the Excalibur Challenge and go.
All right, so we've got 11 matches to go through. Tony had a little bit of restraint so far. We don't know if there's going to be another match added. I don't know. Well, we're all sleeping and he decides to be up, awake, and running around London like a terror. But we've got 11 matches, and we're just going to say, this show is going to be bookended, start and finish, by two people, MJF and Adam Cole.
Bay-bay.
We'll talk about their... What? Oh, Bay-bay. Bay-bay. I'm sorry.
You got to add the Bay-bay. It's Adam Cole, Bay-bay. Come on. Remember, you got to do this thing.
Adam Cole, Bay-bay. There. You're wasting time. So we're going to talk about their singles match at the very end of all of this, if we can get to it. But let's start with the opening match of the 11-match card that we've got that's going to start at 9 o'clock in the morning.
11 matches. Damn.
Yeah, 11 matches. It starts at 9 a.m. my time with the pre-show. Now, to be fair, that's also a great thing of like, oh, good. It means we're also not going to be sitting here at midnight reviewing. But at the same time, it means... holy shit, you have to get up early and ready to watch 5.5 hours of wrestling. Because that's about what I figure it's going to be between pre-show and these matches. Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to get time. Everybody.
Oh, everyone's got to get time, man.
Yeah. So, in your opening match, we've got for your ROH World Tag Team Championships, you know, the belts that Adam Cole has never won... and thought it would be cool for. Aussie Open, Mark Davis and Kyle Fletcher take on MJF and Adam Cole. Boy, howdy! And they've got a match later. Wonder what's going to happen with this.
I don't think anything happens with this one, Brent. I think the two men get along the entire time. There will be no swerve, no nothing. And we're going to get a clean finish of brand new Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions of the World, MJF and Adam Cole.
Okay.
No, that's not actually true. We're also open to going to retain the titles.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to definitely say it's Aussie Open because, as I've insinuated somewhere, or as I talked with Rock earlier and insinuated, I think somebody is going to happen to get injured in this part. I think it's going to be someone that has a little bit of a, I guess you could say, turn later on in the night. I really hope I'm wrong about this, but I have a feeling that Mr. Adam Cole Bay-Bay will probably somehow get hurt. Mm. Not legitimately, somewhat hurt, and it's going to play in towards the end.
Gotcha.
Now, with that, I'm going to pick Aussie Open to retain because it makes no sense putting the belts on Cole and MJF, especially the Ring of Honor World Tag Team titles, because as we've seen, the Ring of Honor belts are basically just accoutrement for AEW.
Right. Sub, who you got in this one?
He said Adam Cole and who?
Adam Cole.
MJF.
Taking on Aussie Open for the ROH World Tag Team titles.
MJF and Cole.
Lindsay will go MJF and Cole. Keishi Matsunaga will go Aussie Open. And the wheel goes...
Wrestler 2.
That is your challengers.
That would be your challengers. Do we need 8-Ball? Yeah, let's do 8-Ball. Hey, will MJF, 8-Ball, will Magic 8-Ball, will MJF and Adam Cole Bay-Bay win the tag team titles? Yes, definitely.
All right, so we have new champions. Awesome. Next up, your other pre-show match. We've got, for your FTW championship, you know that championship that means so much to everybody. It's going to be your champion, former Jungle Boy Jack Perry, taking on Sendhook.
Weren't they planning on trying to retire this FTW championship the other day?
Yeah, they tried to retire it on Wednesday, but then decided, nope, we're going to actually just send it.
Happened on Friday. They pushed the segment to Friday. Friday. They pushed it to Friday.
No, they pushed it to tonight.
They taped a lot.
Hook and who?
Jungle Boy.
I'll go Jungle Boy.
Okay, sub goes Jack Perry. Rock?
We're just gonna send it. We're gonna send Hook to reclaim the legacy of the FTW Championship.
I think you're going to keep it on Jack Perry just because being a heel has been the only thing decent for him over the past 2 weeks, even though it still feels weird him being a heel. He's smarmy, but it's just, it's not working for me.
It's not working for you?
No.
Okay. So, Lindsay goes Jack Perry. Keishi sends Hook. 8-ball pick. Do you pick Hook? Yes, definitely for the 8-ball. And the wheel goes...
Wrestler 2.
Wrestler 2. So
Hook.
Sending Hook. All the way.
All right. Your next match. We will start... We'll keep some of the title matches off. So we're going to go with the grudge match that just so happened to get signed on Wednesday.
Hold on. Yes, full sends only. Send Hook. Continue.
So, we're going to start with the match that really Rock is super excited about. Let me tell you.
Let me tell you, brother. I don't even know which one you're going to. But we're, yeah.
It is the Don Callis Classic, Will Ospreay, your New Japan Pro Wrestling US/UK champion, taking on the icon, Chris Jericho.
That photo, that picture they created.
Oh, the painting of Don Callis holding Chris Jericho's head?
Yeah.
Yeah?
That was weird.
Every painting they've had with Don Callis is weird.
Like, the thing is weird. Yeah, in wrestling, it's brother, 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 brother. Not bra or bro. That's other.
Yeah, no bro.
It's no bro. Well, that's Riddle, bro.
Bro.
But no, in professional wrestling, it's brother, 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 maniac, brothers.
But so yeah. This whole match started because Don Callis was recruiting Chris Jericho and then decided he didn't want Chris Jericho, even though Chris Jericho also said he didn't want, or he wanted to join Don Callis and then backed away. And Will Ospreay, I guess, is trying to set himself up to being full-time AEW possibly after his contract runs out with New Japan.
Chat, look at this thing. Creepy. So creepy. So creepy. Anyway. Maybe he's gonna be full time. I don't know.
I know you just can't wait to see Ospreay and Jericho go at it in London.
I cannot wait for it.
Now, I know a lot of people were disappointed that this isn't Ospreay and Omega as part of All In because they thought, oh, you can do the trilogy, even though that's more of a New Japan thing. But yet, yeah, no. They need someone to be able to put over Ospreay. You don't want it to be Omega. So what do? You sacrifice Chris Jericho for it. Because Jericho can take a loss. It's no big deal.
So you're going Will Ospreay.
I'm going to go Will Ospreay.
Sub, who are you going with?
Will.
Let's go with the Lionheart himself, babyface Chris Jericho. Lindsay goes Jericho.
Is he really a babyface?
In this, yes. Keishi goes Will Ospreay. Magic 8-Ball says, will Chris Jericho win? No, from the Magic 8-Ball, but the wheel says...
Wrestler 1.
Which is...
That would be one Will Ospreay.
How many matches are we into it now, right?
We are 3 matches in, so we have 8 to go!
3 matches in, we've gone about 10 minutes into... Already, so we may make it.
We're gonna kick it up a little bit. Next up, we have a tag team coffin match. How this works, I'm not sure. Do both people have to be in a coffin? Does only one have to be in a coffin? We're going to find out. Coffin match veteran Christian Cage got added to this match after this past week and is teaming with Swerve Strickland, who fired his partner, A.R. Fox, to take on Darby Allin and his painted face father, Sting.
Explain to me what happened here.
So A.R. Fox turned his back on his mentee, Darby Allin, because, you know, they're both from Seattle. They came up in wrestling, and he kind of took him under his wing.
Okay.
He turned heel, joined Swerve Strickland and Mogul Empire. He was in the group for about, 2-3 weeks. And then because he lost a match this past week, Swerve Strickland called him a failure, said he's a disappointment, and had Prince Nana kick him out of the Mogul Empire. And he replaced him with Christian Cage. Basically what this means is A.R. Fox was not as big of a name as Christian Cage, and Tony wanted to make sure bigger names were on this show. So he put Christian in this match.
We all got that. We all put that down in our notebooks.
And I guess it's because Christian and his, the guy who's actually, I guess, defending the TNT title is going to be facing Darby Allin at All Out. You know, one of the only 3 matches for the pay-per-view that is next week. Boy, if I was in Chicago, I can't wait to go to that pay-per-view that has not been built at all.
I mean, all the events leading up to it are in Chicago, so you got plenty of opportunity to find out the build and to see the payoff all in the same week in Chicago.
I get that. But what I don't understand is these are the same fans that completely shit on wrestling companies for building a card in only 1 or 2 weeks, and that's exactly what they did for this show.
There's nothing against Chicago. They just run the town all the time in Chicago.
Yeah, they live in Chicago.
Yeah, that's where they do. See, if you are from Chicago, you're going to have to learn this following phrase. CM Punk. CM Punk. CM Punk. Just learn that. If you're in Chicago, that's the thing you need to learn. CM Punk. CM Punk. For no other reason than just that. Anyway.
Then ego stroking one CM Punk. All right, so who do we have in this tag team coffin match? I'm guessing both people have to end up in a coffin for you to win.
I would assume both people have to be.
So who wins this match?
Sting.
Yeah, Sting has yet to lose a match in AEW, I believe.
He's not losing in front of 80,000 people.
Sting at Wembley Stadium.
By Basically. God.
All right.
So go ahead.
I'm going Alan Sting. You're going Alan Sting. I believe Sub is going Alan Sting.
Yeah. Lindsay went Sting. Okay. Swerving Cage from Casey.
Wow. Okay.
8-ball to Sting win in London. You may rely on it. Cool.
Wheel. All right, 8-ball's going with the faces.
Wrestler 2.
Wrestler 2 on the other side.
Go in the heels. Go in the heels.
There you go.
All right. Next up, we're going to save the Stadium Stampede for a moment. We're going to talk about, you brought up the name, in a singles match for the Real World Championship. And yes, I did the air quotes while I said that here. It is one, Philip CM Punk Brooks, taking on one, Samoa Joseph, your Ring of Honor television champion.
All right, Chicago, let's do it. CM Punk. CM Punk. CM Punk.
That's where I'm going because I don't understand this whole Real World Champion bullshit.
What don't you understand about it?
I mean, I get that they're doing this so that there can be a championship on Collision and to, you know, stroke a certain guy's ego. And that's, again, air quotes I'm using to describe that. But it's so stupid to be like, yeah, we have our Real World Championship that we're... Or we have the actual AEW World Championship that's being defended in the main event of this card. And then you have to be... This is like a Brock Lesnar treatment of saying, every match he's in is a main event. This is CM Punk being in a championship match in London, defending a belt that he got stripped of. He lost it. I'm sorry.
Well, he never lost it. He was stripped of it. He never technically lost it.
Is he recognized as the champion by the company?
I mean, they're letting him defend this Real World Championship.
And that's stupid.
I understand
that. That is dumb as fuck.
But they also have an FTW championship that they don't recognize either, so...
And 5 other belts for a company that is part of their company, but is not part of their company, so...
So here we are. Anyway, CM Punk.
I'm going Phillip Brooks.
Sub.
Who are you fighting again?
Samoa Joe.
I'm going Samoa Joe.
He's going Samoa Joe. Lindsay's going CM Punk. Casey's going CM Punk. 8-ball CM Punk. Yes. Wheel.
Wrestler 1.
CM Punk.
So again, CM Punk. CM Punk.
We're almost halfway through the card.
Halfway there.
All right, next up, we're going to talk about your AEW World Trios Championship, the House of Black, taking on the acclaimed and one unretired, apparently, Billy Gunn. Not Daddy Ass, but actually Billy Gunn. They did a retirement angle with him to do this match.
Yeah, which is why, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the acclaimed brings to you your new AEW Trios World Champions, the acclaimed and badass Billy Gunn.
All right, Rock is going the acclaimed. I'm going to go with not the acclaimed. I think Billy turns, or this is all just to put him in front of 80,000 people and then let him finally ride off into the sunset. Or he turns heel and supports another team because reasons. If they're not going to call him Daddy Ass, then they'll they've already sailed the ship on the t-shirts and the fingers and all of that.
No, but for this night, this one night, he's badass, Billy Gunn.
That's great. Super. Amazing.
Yeah, and yes, there is someone who ran around calling himself Daddy Ass, who's 60-something years old, who wants to scissor another person. Just letting you know, these are things that happen in professional wrestling. Sub, who are you going with?
House of Black.
Okay, Sub went House of Black. Lindsay?
Went House of Black.
Keish?
Casey went House of Black.
8-Ball, does House of Black win?
I look good. Wheel.
Wrestler 2.
The Acclaimed, the challengers. All right, next up, let's talk about in the rubber match for the AEW World Tag Team Championships, we have FTR, 7-star, the champions, taking on the Young Bucks.
FTR.
All right, Sub just jumps right out with FTR. Rock, what do you think about this match?
I mean, this is the greatest tag team rematch of all time, right?
Apparently. This is the third match, the rubber match between the two.
I mean, this is... You have FTR, the Young Bucks.
Who, you know, got their name because of being the Elite. Ooh, that burn in that promo. This match feels like such an afterthought.
It does.
It really does. Like, this match is buried on the card.
Yeah.
For a company that prided itself on its tag team division, your tag team titles are afterthoughts on your biggest show. Do I think that this match, though, will be a good match? I'm not going to say it's going to be, you know, shit. But the build for this just feels meh.
Meh?
Meh.
Meh. Yeah, it feels like the Bucks are phoning it in right now.
You think what?
They're phoning it in. The Bucks.
The Bucks?
Yeah.
See, I think for this... I think some certain legal troubles are going to get the company to switch the belts.
Oh, I know. But I'm saying the build. I think they've been phoning it in.
The build, the Bucks were just there.
Yeah. Yeah, we're changing the belts. The Young Bucks are going to be your new AEW World Tag Team Champions.
They haven't had the belts for a little while. I think they can carry them. I think also, again, it takes the belts off of someone so that when you have legal problems, it's not going to be AEW Tag Team Champion Cash Wheeler goes to court today.
So, Sub went FTR, right?
FTR.
You went...
I went Bucks.
Lindsay went Young Bucks. Casey went FTR. 8-Ball, FTR retain? Yes for that. Wheel goes...
Wrestler 3.
Can't have a Wrestler 3 in a two-person match.
God damn it, Wheel.
Wrestler 1.
FTR. And who did Lindsay have?
Young Bucks.
Bucks.
So,
all right.
Question. How many matches do we have left?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Four. Four left.
We have 4 matches to go. Chat reminder, you can use the Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangle button on the screen. You can use Cricket Rocksock at the Fortnite item shop, hashtag Epic Partner. You can follow us on all social media platforms at CBR Radio Live. We'll be back 1 week from tonight with the return of our expert football predictions for the season. Rob should be here. Won't be the week one picks, but it'll be the preview of football and maybe the return of the Great and the Great debate. We're undecided on that. But that's next week on the show. Just getting all the particulars out of the way, because when the button happens, when things happen in 7.5 minutes from now, we're all finished and ready to go. So there's your closing arguments and statements and ready to go. Just follow us on social media at Steven Radio Live.
You're killing me, Smalls. All right. Next matchup, we have our 6-man tag match, because we also talked about the Elite in the previous match. It's the Golden Elite, Kota Ibushi, Kenny Omega, and Hangman Adam Page taking on Konosuke Takeshita and Bullet Club Gold, Juice Robinson, and Jay White.
Say those Japanese names again really fast.
Konosuke Takeshita and Kota Ibushi.
There you go.
There we go. So, this match was thrown together because fuck all. Complete fuck all. They just wanted the Golden Elite in London. And because you didn't want to burn Omega Takeshita in London, that's going to be probably announced for Chicago. My guess is on Wednesday.
Chicago gets all the good matches. Kenny's not going to lose to Takeshita twice, so Takeshita's team wins here.
Okay, so Rock is going the Bullet Club Gold. I'm going to go Juice Robinson takes the pin here.
Okay.
So I'm going Golden Elite.
Sub is going.
Who is it again?
The Golden Elite. Kota Ibushi, Kenny Omega, and Adam Page taking on Konosuke Takeshita and Bullet Club Gold, Juice Robinson, Jay White.
The first group, Golden Elite.
Alrighty.
Lindsay has Kenny and his husbands. Keishi has the Golden Elite. 8-Ball, does the Golden Elite win? It is decidedly so, and the Wheel of Fun goes.
Wrestler 1.
Wrestler 1.
That is the Golden Elite. All right, next up we have our four-way for the AEW Women's World Championship. Champion Hikaru Shida takes on Toni Storm, takes on Saraya, takes on Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. This match was all done because Jamie Hayter got hurt, and they supposedly originally were going to do this as a four-way with her, but then they were like, no, we'll have the Jamie Hayter comeback tour, but she couldn't heal in time.
She's going to be out for the rest of the year, probably.
Yep, that shoulder injury was worse than anyone thought.
Remember when they were like, everyone praised them for putting like 2-3 women's matches on a 14 match card?
Yep, just one.
Now I got the one.
Well,
this will be a good match. I feel like Saraya, who was the hometown favorite, probably should probably win this match in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Because AEW likes to put the hometown hero over in situations like this, and this would be the full comeback story of Saraya turning to the ring, winning a world championship in front of her hometown, her home country, whatever you want to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go with Saraya. Here's the wrinkle. I think she is going to get the victory over Toni.
Ooh.
Because they've been doing something different with Toni, with her doing, like, old-style Hollywood. I think they're going to start to do a little bit of disruption in the Outcasts. Sub, who do you got?
Yeah, I think Saray would be the smart bet. Like, Saray.
Okay. Rock, Lindsay.
Shida.
Okay, Keishi.
Saraya. 8-Ball, Saraya? Very doubtful.
Shida.
We'll do Wheel first.
Okay.
Because there's a cooldown.
Wrestler 2.
Wrestler 2.
Wrestler 2, Toni Storm.
8-Ball, Shida? Concentrate and ask again. See, 8-Ball's just wasting your time here, so we're going to concentrate again. 8-Ball, Saraya. Very doubtful.
Britt Baker next.
Hey, 8-Ball. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. Ask again later.
Son of a bitch.
This 8-Ball is just like cock
Wheel. Buggy. Toni Storm.
It's 8-Ball. No. So, 8-Ball. Hikaru Shida. Yes, definitely. There you go. We got 2.5 minutes.
Okay. Next up, we have Stadium Stampede. We have Eddie Kingston, Orange Cassidy, and the best friends, Chuck Taylor, Trent Barretta, and Penta El Sierra Miado. Taking on the Blackpool Combat Club, John Moxley, Claudio, and Wheeler. And the back from apparently marriage counseling, Santana and Ortiz. This match is going to be an absolute clusterfuck.
By the way, it's available on DLC in their video game, so go play the game, because why not?
That's great. This match is going to be an absolute clusterfuck, and I don't know how the camera crew is going to keep up with it, because they couldn't last time.
So, I'm going to go Team Mox.
Okay. Rock is going BCC, etc. Sub.
Yeah, works for me.
BCC, etc. I'm going the BCC, etc. because Eddie Kingston can take a loss. It's Eddie Kingston.
Lindsay has BCC and friends. Keishi has the Blackpool. 8-Ball Blackpool? My sources say nope. And the magical Wheel of Fun goes.
Wrestler 1.
Wrestler 1. All right.
That is the faces. All right, finally. We have our main event, which is for your AEW World Championship, the correct one. We have MJF facing his tag team partner, Adam Cole, from earlier in the night.
So, tell me your theory about this match.
I have a feeling, I don't want them to go this way, but I have a feeling they're going to go this way. I think Cole gets hurt earlier in the night. In this match, you have MJF, who's going to fight in this, but he's going to exploit the injury, but he's not going to go full MJF for it. And either Roderick Strong costs Cole the match, or Cole pulls the swerve, goes heel with Roderick Strong, and screws MJF over. I think that's the wrong choice. I think you keep MJF as the heel, because that's where naturally he fits, and it's good. I see Cole winning here. I don't want it to happen. I think Cole would be a better face.
Oh no, hold on. Fuck it, we're done. WildTalkRadio.com